Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. We know you'll be encouraged and inspired by this message. For more content like this, you can subscribe here or head over to faithchurch.com. Let's jump in now for an on-time word from Pastor David.
Waiting. Nobody likes to wait. How many of y'all don't like to wait? Raise your hand. Like, I don't like to wait. If there's a line, I want in the fast pass part of the line because I don't like the wait. It's actually funny when this happened this week because I definitely don't like to wait. So now Nicole, my nurse, she is waiting on me while I'm waiting for her. And it's taught me a couple of things. Number one, I'm a mover and I like to go fast. Some of y'all like me and you want to go fast, right? But learning to wait, teach us to wait. When you think of waiting, you might think of the word wait and think about, you know, a great restaurant and you got to wait. You know, on a Friday night, waiting in traffic to go home. Waiting. A lot of your life is waiting. And right now, you know, with COVID-19, there's a lot of people sitting at home and they're waiting. They feel like their whole life is on hold. And so we're going to kind of basically look into the passive side of waiting and then the active side of waiting. When you're waiting on God, you're saying, I know God's getting ready to do something big behind the scenes. I know he's getting ready to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ever think, ask, or imagine. But if you're waiting as in pain, trouble, it seems like forever. Have you ever heard that, I forget exactly the term, but it's something like that, you know, like when you're having fun, time flies when you're having fun, that's it. Anybody ever heard that? But how many of y'all know guys in prison, time ain't flying, right? Okay. I remember when I was going through my divorce, acknowledging that pain was tough for me, and then also waiting on that because I felt like, hey, listen, I need to hurry up and get back in a relationship. I want to talk to everybody right now that feels like they need to hurry up. Need to hurry up and get back in a relationship. And you're trying to rush what only God in his sovereignty could bring into you at the right time. And you've got to be ready and God's got to be ready. And sometimes you being ready isn't really ready. Come on, all campuses today. God has to make sure that you're okay. For instance, let's just talk about this, the elephant in the room for a minute. There's a little bitty bone that is fractured, but I can tell that it's not ready for me to put any weight on it. And so this week, I've kept it elevated. I've done everything that everybody told me to do because I want to accelerate the process. But how many of y'all know for sure, I definitely want it done now, right? Because I am a shoe guy, right? So I'm like, man. But what's really sad is I have to wait. But in time, it doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean I lost my leg. I have lost a little bit of ability and mobility. So right now, whatever your situation is, I want you to get back in control of your thoughts and realize that God has got everything under control. And what you have to control is your attitude and your mindset towards the difficult thing that you're going through. You might be going through hell, but don't stop. Focus on what you're going to, not what you're going through. Come on, somebody help me today. I love this in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13. In order to get good at waiting, we need to acknowledge God's sovereignty. And it says this, it says, consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? And oftentimes I fly back from here to Florida, and Florida is watching this weekend online. And Tuesday night I'll be there with Chad Veach and streaming back to here, and it's going to be wonderful. But many times, at least once or twice a week, I fly over a lot of rivers. And when I look down, what appears to be straight, if you were on the river, say for instance in the Mississippi, going down into New Orleans, you would think, oh, we're just going straight. But you go straight, and then you go back up a while, and you go down a while, and it's crooked, and God created it that way. But to the mind's eye, when you're there on that stream, you would think that it was straight, but it's really taken a long time, but it's crooked. And that's what this verse is saying, that who can make straight what God has made crooked? And maybe the enemy has tried to put something on you, and the devil is coming trying to beat you up and emaciate your dreams and say it's never going to happen. But who can say that? And God doesn't always cause things, but he allows things. And really what he's doing in you is working patience in your life. That's why the Bible said, let patience have its perfect work, that you might be entire, wanting nothing. Let it have its perfect work. So right now, whatever you're going through, maybe it's the fact that you lost the job, or you lost your hope, or there's been a setback, or you're aggravated at other people. Have you ever just been mad at other people? Raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, I'm assuming you're the person we're mad at, okay? But you're aggravated because you're sitting here trying to put all your hope in. If they would have just, and if I wouldn't have, I mean, if even this, I thought about it, man, if I'd have closed the service 2 minutes earlier, it would have been fine. But how do y'all know closing early is never an option? Come on, somebody would have been right. We were having a party. And so then some people say, you know, they're always blaming the devil. And I think we give the devil too much credit. We were doing what God wanted me to do. What happened? A bad weld. The fact is, you can't blame that on the devil. Everybody tries to spiritualize why this road is crooked. A long, twisted, crooked path that you might be on might not be the plan of the Lord, but it just takes time. Ecclesiastes said that. We're getting ready to have a baby. When I say we, my daughter-in-law is going to have a baby, but the problem is it takes 9 months to have a baby. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. Thank God she knew me, that I was a patient. So she didn't tell us till there was only 3 months left. Come on, somebody. Because already I'm like, how much longer can we induce? I mean, what is really premature, right? So it's like I am in a hurry, but we got to wait. Wait, wait, wait. Good things come to those that what?
Wait.
Shout it again. What?
Wait.
Wait. I want us to go to this passage in Psalms 37. Now, this is the Amplified Bible, and the Amplified Bible amplifies what the meanings of the words actually mean. It says, what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait, there it is again, for and hope and expect in the Lord. What would have come of me? Think about this. When I got a divorce, I was living in a basement apartment. Then I was betrayed by my mom, and my dad dies, and all hell breaks loose. And now I think, man, it's just over. And so I was on the fast track. I was on the roller coaster of emotional craziness. Listening to all the wrong music, thinking all the wrong thoughts. Who am I talking to this weekend? And I was alone thinking, you'll never get married. And who would want to marry you? After all, you feel all the pain of rejection that you have right now. And then all the girls at your dad's church, no offense, but there were... I don't want to say much when I can't run. Come on, help me right now. But y'all know what I'm saying. I don't know if you've heard of Butterface. It's like everything's pretty Butterface. Anybody ever heard that right there? And I was like, oh, man. But what would have become of me? Look at verse 13 again. What would become of me if I had not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord? At some point, you got to flip a switch and say, wait a minute. I'm gonna put myself in the roller coaster. I'm going to fasten it in. And I don't know what God's doing, but I bet it's going to be good. And I don't know who God has for me, but I bet I'm going to like him. Come on, somebody. And I bet you God's working on something good behind the scenes for me. I just know he is. I just know he is. What would become of you if you lose hope? You can't lose hope, not now. And you really got to be careful who you listen to when you're in trouble. Well, I have a lot of doctors come in and out of my house. The beautiful part is they did all this stuff, and the MRI was the only thing I had to leave for, and all the surgeons and everybody, and I won't need surgery and everything. They scoped everything out, and I never had to go and wait in the lobby. I never had to leave the house. It's just like amazing for a little boy that grew up in a homeschool scenario in a trailer that they would take so good care of me. They bring all my crack to the house, everything that I need to survive. They bring it to the house. But you got to be careful waiting in waiting rooms hearing the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
Heard about a little girl that she's crying. She's 4 years old in the lobby of the little, you know, pediatric care place. And the little boy came up and said, why are you crying? She said, they got to go take blood and they have to cut the tip of my finger. And he started crying. And she said, why are you crying? He said, I'm here for a urine test. Your mom will explain that to you later. Come on, somebody. Verse 14, one more time. Wait and hope. I got to give you a second. Wait and hope. What do you do when you're waiting? Be hopeful. What do you do when you're pregnant? You're expecting. MJ was in little baby Bishop's room this afternoon, and she was setting up all his clothes, and they sent us videos, and she's got his room decorated. She's just positive. There's a baby in there. She's sure it's not, you know, a watermelon. She's sure she didn't overeat. This isn't gas. There is a child in there. They put a little thing on her belly and put jelly on it, and we saw him, and he was in there moving around, and he's in there. She's waiting expectancy. Sure, there's some stretching. Sure, there's some pain, but guess what? Come November, we're going to hear a lot of stories that you're going to get sick of hearing about. Let me tell you about my grandkid. Let me tell you about how many of y'all already sick of it. Yeah. Wait expectantly. Everybody shout, wait expectantly. Shout it all campuses. What?
Wait expectantly.
Come on, Earth City, Weldon, everybody, Florida. What is it? Wait
expectantly.
Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still and rest. That's my word this week. Be still and rest. By the way, this sermon on waiting and resting was scheduled way ahead. It was like months out, but the Lord knew, this will be good. Let's call week 3 rest week. Come on, help me right now. Be still and rest in the Lord and wait for him. And patiently, I hate that word, lean yourself upon him like a crutch. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man that brings wicked devices to pass. Here's what happens at a big church like this. You were with him, and now both of you came to this church, and then he got saved, and his life was changed, and then now you broke up. And so now God called you to this church, but now you can't bring yourself to come to church because you cannot stand the sight of looking at him with her. Either God brought you here or he didn't bring you here. So you're leaning into God and say, there's one guy saved and changed his life. God's about to bring me my main man. Come on, somebody help me right now. So you wait patiently and lean yourself into him, then you don't fret because of people who are prospering in their way. Social media does that. It allows you to peer into people's lives and think their lives are perfect. I got a call from my pastor, Pastor Chris Hodges, this week, and he said, text me, I need to talk to you. And I thought, man, I'm up on my tithes, our offerings are good, everything, what could it be? And I said, sure, I can take the call now. And he called me. He said, I didn't know really who to call, but Jill Chambers just called me, and Danny Chambers, her husband, a great pastor in Tennessee, committed suicide just a few minutes ago. And I obviously processed that. I hear that pain and so on. But when I processed all week about Danny going on and everything that happened, I can't help but think that suicide, first of all, is a demon. It's never that bad. There's always something good around the corner. Some of you that are thinking about it right now, may I tell you to pause and wait, because it won't always be this way. And your life is going to be so good, you'll wish you hadn't. And come on, somebody ought to shout amen. But here's what I think really accelerates it. I want all my young people to listen, and even older people if you're on social media. If you're not careful, you can look at other people's lives and think your life sucks. Look at their great life. Look at their great whatever. Look at that whatever. In fact, their life looked great on Instagram. I went back and looked at it. It said just 16 hours ago, it's Jill Instagrammed and said, me and, my boo taking a walk with the dog, and he's smiling. So you can look like you're smiling, and you know what to say on the outside, but it's something eating you on the inside. So sometimes you just need to get rid of social media and know for sure she didn't just wake up like this. This has been face-tuned. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. You'd be surprised what people can do. Enjoy your life. Don't live vicariously through anybody else's life. This is your ride. Strap yourself in and go, ha, ha, ha. I'm going to enjoy my life. I rebuke you, devil. My better days are out ahead of us. If God is for us, who and what can be against me? I'm not focusing on a temporary moment. I'm in for the whole ride. You don't get off a roller coaster midway. Stay in. Come on, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Earth City, I know you're shouting with me. Everybody ought to shout amen. Somebody ought to look at your neighbor and say, you look good. Look at him again and say, you look good too. Sorry about your wait. Yes, I am. But the waiting's almost over. All right. Cease from anger, verse 8. And forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It only tends only to evil doing. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait, everybody shout it again, all campuses, what?
Wait.
Come on, all campuses, shout it loud, what?
Wait.
But those that wait and hope and look for the Lord in the end shall inherit the earth city. That's a whole nother sermon right there. But that's, God gave me that one day while I was waiting, going through a trouble, going through a trial. My mom was betraying me, suing me, trying to kill me, lying on me. You can't believe everything that was going on. And I was going through the hell of my life, and the Lord spoke to me and said, don't waver, don't waver, don't waver, don't wonder, don't wait. 2008's going to be great. While you're wondering, wavering, and waiting, people are dying, going to hell. This is on the last Thursday of 2007. But he said, 2008 is going to be a spring forward for this ministry. And in 2008, the sun came out, and our city was born. And I saw it in the Bible that it said, the meek shall inherit the earth. And I wrote, the Holy Ghost said, put city in there. And you're sitting in a building right now that only existed in the heart of God. And I prayed it through into my mind and out my heart and signed my name. And now it's been a church there for years and years and years, years and years. Somebody ought to give God praise today. But my point is, it wasn't looking good in 2007, but it was looking good in 2008. It was like, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow. I don't know the rest of the words. All right, let's go. Verse 11 says, but the meek in the end shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. In the abundance of what?
Peace.
Would you agree with me, church, this weekend that there is definitely not an abundance of peace in the divided states of America? No peace. In fact, we even post about it. If you don't do this, no peace. If you don't do what we say over here, no peace. No peace, no peace, no peace, no peace. That's the enemy. The Bible says if we trust in the Lord, in other words, you can do whatever you think you need to do politically and go do it. And you can do whatever you think you need to do in the natural and go ahead and go do it. But the Bible says that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. It is he that made with his finger the river crooked. It is he, the one who totally gave all the breath that you have and all the bones that you have and put the skin over the bones. It is our God who reigns in heaven, and he's saying, listen, I know the number of hairs that are on your head, and I don't even sleep. I think about you at nighttime. And if you'll just wait, somebody ought to help me now. If you'll wait in peace, you'll have the abundance of peace. Amen. I was just sitting here thinking, man, you're a great preacher. Verse 12. The wicked plot against the uncompromisingly righteous, the upright and right standing of God. So they'll plot against you. They gnash at them with their teeth. And verse 13 says, everybody shouted at all campuses, what's that say? The Lord laughs. Shout it again. What's the Lord do?
Laugh.
What's he do one more time?
Laugh.
God's up there going, that's so not going to work. They're doing this and doing that. And they go, oh, that's so not going to work. Even now where they're trying to shut down in the United States of America, the church, where it's illegal in many states to have church, where it's against the law to have church, where my friends have been thrown in church for having church. And God looks and laughs because he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so they think they're shutting it down, but actually they're just winding God up, because the whole world right now has no peace, and the peace comes from God's word. Tranquility comes from God's house. Information and revelation gets inside their spirit. And you know what people need right now? They're sick of the negative news. They're ready for the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who said, I got the whole world in my hand, and if you'll wait expectantly, I'm not slumbering. And he's just laughing. Y'all can be seated. Any other campuses, if you stayed seated because you were watching a video, shame on you. You should participate. This is live stream into your campus. It's very important that you participate, because you only get out of that what you put into it. And you can Google how to lose weight and do yoga, and you can watch it and eat, or you can actually get off the couch. Somebody understand what I'm saying right now? And you can actually do the motions. If you do the motions, you get way better results than if you just watch it. So the Lord laughs. One more time. What's the Lord do?
He laughs.
So if you're ever in a scenario to where you're at a table with some important people, and the lead guy who invited you, in fact, I was in Panama at the president's house in Panama in January. And there was one man right next to me that invented the crane that lifts cranes in the Panama Canal. He's a billionaire. And this guy over here invented a bunch of billionaires. And all billionaires. Never been in a house like this in my life. And the guy who owns the house told a joke. And I didn't get the joke. But I did get the memo when everybody else laughed. And I didn't get the joke, but I just... I didn't get the joke, but I assumed the joke was funny. And I assumed I was in his house. And I assumed that we needed to laugh. So here's my point in all this. If you're going through hell and God says, the Lord sits in the heaven and he laughs, even if you don't get the joke, you need to be going, if he's laughing, I'm laughing. Come on, somebody, right now. I'm going to count it all joy when I fall into every temptation. The joy of the Lord gives me strength. If he's laughing, I'm laughing. Somebody ought to shout, ha, ha. Look at your neighbor and say, that's funny. I wanted to put on the screen. I know it's in Psalms 2, verse 4. I think it is. I just wrote it down. I didn't look it up. I think it's Psalms 2, verse 4. It says, the Lord sits in the heavens and he laughs. Maybe tomorrow. I wrote it next to the notes that I sent you guys. There you go. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord's laughing. But he's not laughing in faith. He's laughing because he sees the end from the beginning, and he sees what is going to happen in the end. So he just sits there and laughs. But here's what you have to do. We're getting ready to go to a video clip that's going to help prove this. You can either be in faith or fear, but you can't be in both. You're either going to be in faith or in fear. There's a thing in your car, and there's a little thing that says R on it. It's not for race. It's reverse. Then there's a thing on it that says D. And then it might be a 1, 2, and a 3. But what you have to do is make sure your faith is in gear, not your fear. And that's why you need to quit listening to them and listen to him. And that's why church is so important, so you get that mixture. Come on, all campuses, give the Lord a hand. Just go. Check this out.
Top is pretty exciting. I've actually written this before, so the kids don't know what I know. They're getting ready to hang over, and their stomach is about to drop like a rock. You know why? Hang on, people. This is scary. Totally. Are you scared yet? Look at the view.
No way.
Seriously.
Look down.
What? Okay, we did it. Austin looks like he's seen a ghost. Amherst's hands are shaking.
That's what we did, Morgan. We were right there.
See, that is a drop.
So many times in life, though, people see that stuff. Like my parents, my dad would have never rode that. My grandma would have never rode that. They see it and it holds them back, keeps them in fear. Don't let fear keep you back.
Yes. You know what's so funny too is Amherst was talking about, I don't want to know what's coming next. I don't want to know anything about the ride, because if I know, then I have a chance to back out. I have a chance to get scared and give into that fear.
That's
and
true.
It reminds me of when you were talking about, you know, before you guys bought the Earth City campus, or before you made the, you know, the Sunset Hills campus, just thinking about, hey, I'm so glad I didn't know all of it. God didn't show me the full picture at first.
Nope.
Because you would have gotten scared and thought, it's impossible. There's no way to do that.
Give it up for our team. They're so creative, aren't they? I want to go to Isaiah 40, verse 28. It really helps you understand this. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Again, when she was just saying, hey, aren't you glad that God didn't show you how much it would cost to build Sunset Hills, or how much it would cost to show Earth City? God doesn't show you the very ending, but he sees the ending, and he knows by the time you get there, you will have the necessary faith to handle it. So Amherst was saying, don't tell me what it looks like. I don't want to see it. I don't want to feel the curves. I don't want to know about what's happening. I'm just going to get on it. And 2 minutes later, you're off of it, and you completed the ride. And that's what this scripture is saying. It says, have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint and grow weary? He doesn't. One of the ways that you grow weary is that you focus too much on the problem and not enough on God's power. So now you get weary and emaciated in your mind, especially if you're a warrior. At all campuses, don't be ashamed. How many of y'all like me, and you can think of about every possible scenario that could go wrong. You call it responsibility, but the fact is, you're pretty dang good at worrying. Raise your hand real high, all campuses. All right, you can put it back down. This is what happens when we focus on our ability. Now, God's ability kicks in when we realize that our ability is limited. We never ever try to drive a roller coaster. We simply get in the roller coaster, and they say, hey, are you tall enough to ride it? Yeah, I'm tall enough to ride it. And then they put a seatbelt on you, and then they click it in and they check it again, because they know there's going to be a lot of twists and turns, a lot of ups and downs, and accelerated speed. God would not have picked you if he had not known that you were the right height, that you were the right size, that you were the right color, that you had the right personality. He made you and formed you and created you for the ride of your life. Somebody ought to give God praise today. And all, come on, Weldon. Every campus ought to shout hallelujah to this. But verse 29, it says, he gives power to the faint and the weary. And to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply, making it around him, causing it to multiply. He increases, he gives power to the faint. My friend Keith Moore, he wrote a little song. It says, he gives power to the faint, so much power to the faint. He increases strength to them that have no might. He gives power to the faint. He just wrote that. It was a way that he memorized that song. So I'll sing it now that way. But God does give power to the faint. But where's power come from? Now my iPhone, I love it so much. Let's just thank God for iPhones. Thank you, Lord. And Androids even, whatever your phone is. All right. When you were young, how many of y'all didn't have a phone like this in your pocket? Raise your hand. How many of y'all got bored sometimes in the house and you're like, you did stupid stuff. You even went outside and played. Raise your hand if you went outside and played. Anybody ever went outside and even got thirsty and there wasn't a water bottle, you actually drank out of a hose, okay? And that explains a lot of our ticks, right? But the fact is, we got bored. But you can't hardly get bored now. In fact, you have to honk at the people at the red light because they're on Facebook. Anybody ever had to do that? Anybody like me, though, and you're the guy they're honking at, right? Okay. I'm just telling you. Hey, I'm streaming live. Okay. But this phone, if it loses its charge, in fact, now it's down really low. But thank God I have this extra charger. And this extra charger allows me to never get bored because when I get low and Nicole thinks I can spend time with her, I just put on my extra little charger. The Holy Spirit is that way. He is the power boost that you need when you get low. And that's why he wants to increase your strength. He wants to make, somebody ought to shout amen to this. He wants to make you stronger. He wants to make you brighter. He wants to increase your capacity to multiply and grow your organization and for 2020 to be your best life. But now you feel low and emaciated. You're like, I'm tired of waiting. When is it going to be? You might be right on the edge of the supernatural breakthrough and you need to say, God, give me power. I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to go to the world. I'm not going to go to the club. I'm not going to go to that site. I'm going to try. Somebody ought to shout amen. I'm not going down that path. I'm going to wait. Wait. Oh, somebody ought to say, I like waiting. Just by faith. I know you're like, I'm not saying that. One more time. I say, I like to wait. Verse 30 says, even youth shall faint and grow weary. Right now, there's an epidemic during the pandemic of young people committing suicide. Here it is. Even young people fall faint and grow weary. And the selected young men shall be feeble, stumble, and exhausted. But those who wait upon the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God. There's wings in the Bible. Let's thank God for wings right now. God, we thank you, Lord, for wings, chicken wings. Come on, somebody help me run the hot wings, Buffalo Wild Wings. Come on, Trace Wings. Come on, whatever your wing is right now. How many of y'all want some wings? It's in the Bible. It says you shall mount up on them wings. Come on, somebody. Mount up on them wings. How many of y'all going to memorize that verse? I'm like, I got that verse in my spirit by the Holy Ghost. I got to tell you a story today. Me and Nicole, yesterday we ate Chick-fil-A. It was so good. She said, what do you want today? And I said, Chick-fil-A. So we went through Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A can have 900 people in there, and they do all the time in line. And we ordered a pack of 30. And I was in charge of distribution because I'm in the back seat. Well, she's in the front seat. And I would throw her. And then finally, almost home, she said, how many more do I have? I've had, my last count was 4, and I think I've had a couple more, and I said, I don't know, but we're out. Come on. I hadn't been counting. Come on, somebody out there. She whipped that car around like she was being chased by the cops and rolled right back into Chick-fil-A and said, we back. This time, she kept the box in the front seat. Come on, somebody. Give it up for Pastor Cole having wisdom. That's wisdom. Wisdom. It's like, I'll be counting the chicken. I got sidetracked. Those wings messed me up. Okay, we're almost done. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, Let us strip off and lay aside every encumbrance, that weight, unnecessary weight, which is cleverly clinging to you, that entangles you. And let us run with patience. Let us run with patience and endurance and steady persistence that appointed race is set for us. Check it out. All campuses, listen here. Looking away from all that would distract to Jesus, not the news, not Corona. Mask, no mask. Some people believe in masks like crazy. I have people at this church that they die believing and telling me, Pastor, wear the mask. And other people say, please, Pastor, don't wear that stupid mask. It's a sham. And so I'm like, oh, what do I do? So some Instagrams I have it on, some I don't. I don't know. I just like Paul, I'm on the road to Damascus. but verse 2. It says, looking away from all that would distract. Verse 2, what do we have to do? We have to do what? Shout it with me. Looking away from all that would distract. All campuses, read it again. What's it say? Looking away from all that would distract. And who do we look to?
Jesus.
Who do we look to?
Jesus.
He's our leader. He's our source of faith. He's giving us belief. He's the finisher that'll bring it to maturity and perfection. So we can, for the joy that was obtaining the prize that was set before him, he endured the cross, his own personal COVID-19, but way worse, despising it, ignoring the shame. And he's now seated at the right hand of God the Father. So as I wrap this up, first of all, raise your hand if it helped you. Raise your hand this weekend, it's helped you. Put it back down. If it didn't help you, raise your hand. I want to see you. I want to give you your money back. The word of God is the Bible said, a two-edged sword. It's sharp on both ends. So it'll cut you coming and going. And so what God is doing through this church is, one, we were one of the first ones to ever go back in spite of all the fear and the shaming. But we believe that the Bible said the gates of hell will not prevail against. And we saw the enemy trying to shut up the church. And we saw a lot of people rioting by the thousands. And nobody was dying. And 10,000 people stabbing each other and spitting on each other. Nobody was dying. And so we thought, wait a minute. Surely God's grace is sufficient for us. Surely he will protect us with his blood. And we came back. We've been back for months now. Guess what? Nobody died. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. So you choose this day that you're going to swing up the big old door of opportunity and start saying, you know what, God, I'm going to teach me to wait. Teach me to endure trouble, trial, persecution, because I want to obey you all the way through. With every head bowed and every eye closed, all campuses, I want to pray for you today. If you say, Pastor, this word today helped me immensely. Raise your hand one more time. Okay, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to raise your hand if you would like for me to pray with you at all campuses. Raise your hand and let me see. Father, I pray right now in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, God, that you would touch your people. God, that you would help them, heal them, and set them free. God, I speak to all this depression. I bind you. Insecurity, be bound. And I hear the Holy Spirit telling me to tell you this. There's a lot of you who you're so upset about being single. And the Lord said, until you're comfortable just being married to me, I won't bring that next person into your life. Be comfortable with who you and I are. And then, like that, it'll be brought into manifestation into your life. Father, we thank you and we praise you for that. I also want to lead you to salvation right now. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, no matter what campus you're at, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, we're all going to pray this prayer together with you, because you got to make an open proclamation of your faith. But lift up that hand right now. Lift it up high. Let me see it for about 3 seconds. Come on. 1, 2, 3. You can put it down. Now everybody pray this prayer. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus on the cross to die for me. I believe he rose again on the third day. He is now my Savior. He is now my Lord. And I'm now born again. Come on, give it up for all those people who just received Jesus. Come on, Faith Church, you can do better than that. That's a big deal. That's life altering. We get excited about
it. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If it encouraged you, share it with a friend. You never know what the people around you are going through. We're so grateful you joined us today, and we'll be back next week for more resources or to give. Please go to faithchurch.com.